Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace which leads us through our days, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, that you would show up and that you would encounter us in a special way. We ask in Jesus' name, and I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you're following along, in the bulletin is a sermon notes that you can fill in the blanks. There's extra room around it that you can write something that you feel God is trying to impress upon you. You want to do this so that you have something that will carry on throughout the week and not be like the water plant that only gets a little drip and has nothing to carry it through. If you're listening online, there's a downloadable PDF file with the sermon notes. On the other side are some devotions that I encourage you to read throughout the course of the week. When I was in my 20s, I had a moment of decision. Should I stay with the company that I was working at or had been working at for 2 years, or should I take a new job as a contract programmer? And my first assignment would be in the Renaissance Center downtown with Ford Motor Company. There's something to be said about the familiar, isn't there? There's a comfort in knowing what's expected of you. There's a comfort in knowing you can do what is expected of you. You're familiar with the other people you work with, and they are familiar with you. And the people I was working with were good people. But there's also something to be said about those unknown challenges. Will I be able to do the job that's expected of me? Will I be able to grow in my job and tackle all the new tasks that are thrown my way? Will I be able to work with the people of whom I am now unfamiliar? For those of you who already know my past, you already know that I took up the unknown challenges and I began working at Ford Motor Company. But we have this question, and it's a question we all should face. And from time to time, it's the question of, should I make a change? We have to note that we all face this question, should I make a change? They can be as simple as new friends in school. They can be, should we start a family? It could be, when are we done creating a family? Kids going to school, new teachers, new friends. Choosing classes, then colleges, then careers, then jobs. Changing jobs, oh my goodness, and retirement. A second summer or winter home. And the list goes on. Sometimes we relish change. But oftentimes, don't relish change at all. And Jesus had been working or walking with the disciples for 3 years. And 3 years, 3 years at one moment could seem like a long time together. But in this moment for the disciples, it must have seemed like only yesterday they met. And now Jesus is telling them that there is a change a-coming, that he must go away. Not for a work trip, not for a vacation, not to go visit family, but that he must leave them for a long time. And that probably really began to mess with the disciples. And Jesus knew it, because no one likes change. But even in the midst of change, Jesus is aware of the disciples' needs then and ours today. In fact, we note in the midst of change, Jesus is always aware of our needs today. So in this moment, Jesus begins to share with his disciples that he is going away and, get this, will not leave them void. Will not leave them void. In fact, Jesus says he must go away, for if he does not, well, read it with me. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. You see, the Father and Jesus will give them then and us today another advocate to help. An advocate or a counselor, helper, intercessor, someone who will strengthen us, someone who will walk with them to help them, to listen to them, to guide them, to intercede for them, to make them strong. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like someone I'd want walking through life with me. Wouldn't you like someone walking with you through that life? And Jesus goes on to say that this advocate, this counselor, will be with them then, and again, us today, forever. Forever. You see, Jesus came to earth for a time, about 33 years, of which the last 3 years were spent in public ministry, and we almost know nothing about the first 30. Jesus tells us that he is the exact representation, the exact representation of God in the flesh. Emmanuel, which means God with us. But Jesus and God, well, Jesus and he was God, was here with us physically for a time. But again, he was limited now by the flesh. He could only be in one place at one time. And here Jesus states that he and the Father are sending the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us after Jesus leaves. So you can see the conundrum that Jesus has. He wants to be with them, yet he must go so that the Spirit of God, the exact representation of God, can be with all people, all the time, forever. We wrestle with what is truth these days. It says the Spirit of truth will be with us. And the biggest change in the last 30 years is what I would call relativism. Relativism. This is the definition. Relativism is the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context and are not absolute. Let me break it down to these several words. That knowledge, truth, and morality are not absolute. At the core of its definition, that's what it's saying. Knowledge, truth, and morality are not absolute. And change from culture to culture, society for society, etc. And yet here, Jesus is indicating that this Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Of truth, with a capital T, all truth. Forever. Not just then. But forever. And as Christians, we need to be firm that what God says is true, is true. For instance, God says, you shall not commit murder. Yet there were, in Jesus' day, religious sects that would sacrifice babies and children to their false idols and gods. It was to appease them. And Jesus even strengthens this, thou shalt not commit murder, by saying, when you have hated another, you have committed murder already in your heart. Oh, wow, is that some truth to swallow? Man, don't hate anyone, because it's not good news. And Jesus goes on to say that the Spirit of truth will testify about me. About me. And we have the witness of this from the writers of the Gospels in the New Testament, of which we note the Spirit calls Peter and Paul, for instance, to ministry. He gives them the direction they should go, calling Peter to change ministry direction from only speaking to the Jewish people about Jesus, the Israelite people about Jesus, to now non-Jews, known as Gentiles. Can you imagine that? Bridging the gap from one nation to the whole earth? When Israel was like, leave us alone. And now God is saying, no, go out and tell all the world the good news. The Holy Spirit is going to help you to testify about me. The Holy Spirit then calls the biggest hater of Jesus, or the church at that time, Saul, to become a lover and follower of Jesus, calling him to spread God's word, creating churches all over the Middle East and into what we know as Europe today. Creating this spreading movement of Christianity. Just imagine where we would be if Israel had said, no, not going to share Jesus. Not going to do it at all. So we note that the Spirit of truth was active then, And the Spirit of truth is still active today. And what I see most in regard to the Spirit is that if we don't have the Spirit, or if we choose to only receive a little bit of the Spirit, if we don't listen to the Spirit, then we'll forfeit something. For those who don't heed the Spirit's call to believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, then they are likely to lead lives that are not in line with God, the worship of God and of Jesus, the instruction on how to live holy and living lives that please God and help us to live lives that love one another. Because without God, why should I love you? There is nothing written anywhere that says I should love you other than God telling me that I should love you. I've spoken to three different people over the last month or so who seemed to have not yielded to the Spirit of God as the Spirit testifies to their spirit. One, a regular church attender, was someone who through the years didn't understand that to get to heaven, one needed to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And by believing Him, by being in relationship with Jesus, that they could inherit eternal life. They felt that they would not make it to heaven when they died. They felt no assurance that when they left this world, they would be with Jesus in the next. The second person had no upbringing in the Bible or the church. Yet when I spoke with them, they had heard, at least as they understood, all the truth claims about who Jesus is. They said they were a skeptic and just couldn't believe these truth claims of Jesus. They were rebuffing the testimony of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit testified to them. The third person had gone to church off and on, and their spouse was very active in church. Yet they felt much like a doubting Thomas, needing some more kind of proof, always needing something more that what Jesus said is true about faith in heaven. They needed something. And so I saw the Holy Spirit working in them. But again, there's that rebuffing of the testimony of Jesus, of the Spirit's action in their life. And we have to look at our own lives from time to time and say, well, where do I stand? Am I truly rebuffing the Spirit, really living a dead life? Or am I only asking the Spirit to come in at select points in my life? Or am I asking the Spirit to fill me to overflowing each and every day? Not so that my life would be different, but that I could help change the lives of those around me. I was listening to another preacher who stated it like this: to those who are not quite past this understanding or have skepticism, their doubts about the Spirit's truth claims of Jesus. And he said, you would think they would want it to be true. You would think that they would want these truth claims to be true. For those who don't think Jesus' claims are too true, then what is there for eternity? Nothingness. A blackness, or it's a void, or there's just simply an end. Yet Jesus, who is God in the flesh, paints a very, very different picture, that there is life for all after we leave this earth. And whether we're in heaven or in out of heaven, whether we are in heaven or out of heaven, there is that picture. And the Spirit of truth still testifies to that today. And even if you're a skeptic or a doubter, don't you want it to be true that there's something more than this life? I can tell in speaking with each of these persons, the Spirit had been working in their lives through various Christians who had shared the various biblical truths of Jesus. I was just one more person, and I could see or hear them wrestle with where they were with God, Jesus, and the Spirit. It isn't worth betting your life on or betting your life against this truth of Jesus and the Spirit about Jesus. How could you push away Christ, who had one day, well, not only spoke with power and authority, not only healed many people who were sick, but one day came to a grave where the man had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. Man, they didn't have much of an embalming practice back then, and it wasn't a good thing. And yet he went there and had them roll away the stone, and then he said, come out. And guess what happened? Lazarus came out. We're talking about the same guy, Jesus, who he himself, after 3 days, rose from the grave after he was dead and was seen by more than 500 people at one time. More than 500 people over a period of 40 days before he went back to heaven. And this was verified by his closest friends and has been historically recorded and handed down through the ages so that we today could know the truth. As I was faced with Jesus Christ in my 20s, it wasn't so much whether I knew who he was because I had grown up going to church. I had already publicly stated that Jesus was my Savior through confirmation, and I would have told you at any one point in time I was a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But my lifestyle at times would not suggest this. As I continued life through school and as I began working with very little Holy Spirit, if any. Yet it was the Spirit's continued work through my reading of the Bible as I began to attend church again, as I began to read God's truth and see the Spirit of truth moving in others' lives, that my heart began to understand the spiritual truths of not only Jesus as Savior, but as the gift of the Spirit who is there for those who believe. And so we note that the Spirit's main task for believers is to lead us to the truth of God in our lives. It's to lead us through the truth of God in our lives. Again, Jesus said, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him. Well, read it with me. The world cannot accept him, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know what it is when you feel that prick in your conscience, your soul, when you're about to do something that's contrary to what God wants you to do? You've felt that. That something you're about to do is either not right or even not holy. That's the Spirit of truth working in you, coming alongside of you to counsel you and to make godly decisions. And we note the world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't look with spiritual eyes. They don't look with spiritual eyes. And as Jesus stated, the Spirit lives in each Jesus believer. Jesus leaves so that the Spirit of truth can reside in each Christian believer. What a blessing. God is still with us. Better than that, God is now in us. Isn't that an amen?
Amen.
Yes, it is. This is a part of God's amazing grace. That God would want to be with each one of us. One to one. One to one. And for those who have yet to believe in Jesus, while the Spirit is always knocking on the hearts of their door, open up. Let me come in. Yet too many Christians lead such powerless lives because they try to do what they do under their own power instead of asking the Spirit to fill them to overflowing with the Spirit's power, His love, and all the other gifts that we could receive if only we asked. Don't be satisfied with a sip. Only be satisfied with the whole of what the Spirit of truth wants to do in our lives. Imagine leading lives that are in step with God's will for you. No, not just being good people, not just helping other people, but lives where God gives you an amazing love to love others with a wow kind of life. We always look at other Christians and say, wow, I wish I could do those things. And I say, wow, I know you can. Just ask the Spirit to show you how. a heart that beats for sharing Jesus with others in ways that speaks to the hearts and minds of others. A soul that is not satisfied being with God through His Word on a daily basis, but also meditating on what God speaks to you and follows what He tells you to do. What was that? If you obey my teachings, you're the one who loves me. And yet sometimes we don't obey. What does that say to God? And sometimes we don't even read the Scriptures. What does that say to God? Don't you want to live a life of worship that doesn't just praise God on Sunday mornings, but through each and every day of your life, a prayer life that is really talking with God every day, not just uploading your desires of what God needs to do for you? You know, I just hope that you're all seeking the Spirit's direction in your life and asking the Spirit to fill your life with more of the Spirit of God. I was coming to church this morning, and I asked my wife to write down as I was driving what I saw. And it was an Xfinity truck on M59 this morning as I went to go pick her up. And I thought to myself, it could be a company guy driving his Xfinity truck. But it was the kind of truck that had the cherry picker on it. So it was like he was going somewhere and he was going to help someone, which is a very Christian-like thing to do. And then I thought about how he would be going out and helping someone to do something because their telephone or their TV wasn't working, their cable wasn't, and they couldn't live without those things. Right? Right, I was thinking that. And there were these two competing thoughts in my mind. The one thought was, you know, here's a guy doing something 24/7. And the thought came, you know what? You know where 24/7 came about? You know when it came about? It came about from God. Oh, didn't you know that God is with us 24/7? I thought, man, that is amazingly good news. Too many people walk around thinking that God is somewhere up there and that we're somewhere down here and that we have to do some kind of special chant or prayer to get God's attention. And what did we just learn? God is with us 24/7. And we don't even have to pick up the telephone. Right? Where's God? The Holy Spirit of truth? He's in us. Do you believe that? Do you live like you believe that? There was something else about this Xfinity guy that I wanted to share, but you know, it just slips my mind right now. So we're coming up to the first 30-day challenge this year. For the month of February, which of course is 28 days long. So you figure out whether you want to do 2 days before, 2 days after, or maybe 1 day before, or 1 day after. I leave that to you. And you can either start this week a little early, which I would recommend. Get a start. And here are the various levels of challenge, and they're at the bottom of your sermon notes. Whichever one you decide to do, of the list I'm about to give you, it's between you and God. But there are two things you must do every day. You got that? Two things. First, every day ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with His presence in your life. Fill you with your presence, with His presence in your life. You want to be this person, living a Spirit-filled life. You have to do that one every day. I recommend every morning as you wake up. Second, write down at least 1 to 3 things you are grateful to God for at some point during your day. What is it that you're grateful to God for and write it down at some point in your day? Get a little pad of paper, get a little composition book, I don't care. And then here are some other 30-day challenges you can choose to do. And I've said this 100 times here. Listen to Christian radio. Do it for 30 days. There are 3 stations on FM alone. 89.7, 103.5, 103.5, or 102.9. Here's another thing. Read a little bit of Scripture either after waking up or before you go to bed at night. You can start in the book of John, or if you don't do it regularly, start with this 30-day challenge to do so. If you haven't been reading regularly, start this 30-day challenge to read a little bit every day. And then spend a few minutes in time in intentional prayer. In intentional prayer. Get this. On Monday, I want you to pray for your family. That's all I want you to pray for on Mondays is your family. Tuesdays, pray for your neighbors, your friends, your schoolmates, whoever it is that lives around you. Wednesday, I want you to pray for persecuted Christians. Persecuted Christians, for them to remain faithful. Thursday, I want you to pray for the church. I want you to pray specifically for this church. Pray for me, your pastor. Pray for those who come to church. And then on Friday, I want you to pray for the church worldwide. You know, God's not just working here in Heartland, is he? No, all believers have the Spirit of truth, and we're not the only believers, are we? Pray for the big church. Saturday, pray for God to speak to you in worship on Sunday. Get prepared for God to meet him on Sunday. Why start Sunday morning when you can start Saturday night? And then Sunday, pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you in worship. Pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you in worship. Or, you know what? Make up your own challenge. Make up your own challenge. If you need some help, see me and we can chat about it. Remember, though, you must ask the Spirit to fill you up every day, and you must write down what you're grateful for each day. Now, this is one of those moments. Remember I told you how I had to make a decision? Whether I was going to stay where I was at or if I was going to move on to new challenges. And I chose the new challenges. In fact, I would choose new challenges two more times in my work life. One was to go work for the Ford Motor Credit Company, and one was to become a pastor. I could have made decisions that said no to both of those, and I could still be working at Ford Motor Company. In fact, I could be retired. Wow, that's a thought. But this is one of those moments where you need to make a decision to either do or not to do, to be comfortable where you're at, or to invite God to take you to another place. It's your choice. It's between you and God. And I know what God is asking you to do. A deeper place with Jesus. A deeper place with the Spirit of truth. I would think that you would want that. Don't you want it? Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for your words of truth, and not only the words of truth, but the Spirit of truth. And ask in Jesus' name that as we invite now the Holy Spirit to come more fully into our lives, Lord, that you would pour us to overflowing, filling us and spilling over us your Spirit, that we might not just live lives, but that we would live wow lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name, that you might be glorified. Lord, that we might be more used by you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.